Hi there, and welcome back to Victory Laps, part of the Throwback Thursday celebrations for the 50th anniversary of Riverside International Speedway. I'm Dylan Langell. Thanks again for pressing play at riversidespeedway.ca or clicking download on iTunes. If you listen on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, click subscribe. You'll never miss an episode. Come next week, we'll all be at the track once again for the IWK 250 Super Race Weekend. And we've got two special guests today. Before we dive into that, I want to look forward to August for the Bumper to Bumper 300 Weekend. That's coming up August 16th and 17th. Friday night, we have the Napa Sportsman Series and the East Coast Mini Stock Tour, followed by a huge day on August 17th. Along with the NASCAR Pinty Series and the Maritime League of Legends, we have a Show and Shine event. The Rev It Up at Riverside Show and Shine. It will be held at the Speedway grounds from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. during practice of the Bumper to Bumper 300. It's absolutely free to attend. Going to be a lot of sweet hot rods, and if you want to show off your ride at the Rev It Up Show and Shine, go online to riversidespeedway.ca and register. You also get tickets to the Bumper to Bumper 300. First up on episode 7 of Victory Laps today is a very important individual to Riverside International Speedway. Steve Lewis is my first guest on episode 7 of Victory Laps. Joining me on Victory Laps today is one of the men who created the IWK 250. My pleasure to chat with Steve Lewis. Steve, how are you?
Just great.
Business is starting to pick up. How excited are you for the 2019 IWK 250?
Can't wait for it to get here, actually.
Weather's been picking up and very nice, and hopefully it sticks around in a couple weekends.
Yeah, the weather is a big deal for us, that's for sure, yeah.
So I just want to ask you, Steve, you've been involved with cars for a long time. What sparked your interest in cars and racing before we dive into Riverside?
Well, I grew up in a car family. My father was an auto body repair person and painter, and I painted my first car when I was 10 years old. And it was pretty much him that got me on my way to where I am today. The racing part of it came along later. We did drag race when we were younger, and did some rally racing too. So, you know, there's been racing before we got to the IWK racing. So, you know, this was just another transition into another part of motor vehicles for me.
Do you remember your first time going to Riverside?
Gosh, I was probably 16 years old, I guess, when I went to Riverside for the first time.
And if you don't mind me asking, what year was that?
That was 40 years ago.
Okay, so about that mid-70s.
That's right, yeah.
And who were some of your favorite drivers to watch on the high banks of Riverside back then?
We had a bunch of people that we kind of followed, but, you know, I really didn't have somebody because I wasn't into the racing that heavily at that time. Just great memories is all that I remember of the time that I was there. You know, it was just a pleasure to watch it.
Did you ever get the bug to maybe go racing?
No, not with stock cars. No, I haven't. No.
Drag racing?
Oh yeah, I keep away from the drag race track now. I'm away from that, and I'm going to stay away from it.
Well, you'll be at the oval track this year, but just a question, Steve. How did you get to know John Chisholm before we dive into the IWK 250?
Well, I met John, obviously, through my daughter's marriage with Donald, and John was a great guy. He just, he was all about racing. It was his passion. There is no question about it. He just loved it, and you know, we sat down and talked a few times about racing and how things were going with the track and so on. And, it was just a pleasure to be around him for me.
And this would have been around the time when John repurchased Riverside International Speedway?
That's correct, yes, yeah.
Was that around the same time you became involved in philanthropy?
Oh, no, we had been involved with that for many years. We started fundraising with the IWK many, many years before that. We did car washes at the shop in Sydney here at Steve Lewis Auto Body for, over 20 years, I'm sure. And our car washes were notorious for the IWK. There was times that the street would be closed, the main street would be closed, Welton Street, because the car wash people waiting to get their cars washed were lined up all for like a half a mile waiting down our street to get their car washed. So, no, our attachment to the IWK has been around for a long, long time, probably 35 years or so, you know.
And what were the origins of the IWK 250?
Well, when I talked to John and Donald originally about the situation, they were looking for sponsorship, and I was our car washes, we were looking to do something different from the car washing, and I brought it up to John one night. I said, well, what about Emily, who had been just born, and I said, why don't we start a fundraiser for the IWK? And we had chatted for a while, him and I and Donald, and the first thing we know, here we are. IWK came along, and that's how the, I suggested the name was going to be the IWK 250, and that's where it came from. So,
and you've also supplied some hot rods for pace vehicles with this IWK 250 as well.
Yeah, we've had a number of different vehicles through the years. Yeah, we've had Prowlers and Vipers and Corvettes and vintage cars. It's been a pleasure to for the children. We have a thing that there's, if any child wants to see our cars, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to get in it, enjoy it, sit in it, whatever. It's just that kind of an atmosphere when we go to the racetrack. You know, kids want to see the cars. That's what they're there for. They're not there to look at or don't touch or touch, be worried about scratching them or any of that kind of stuff. But we do the telethon. We do the telethon every year, and we bring cars to that. It's the same story. The kids, it's all about the kids being able to enjoy the cars, get in the cars, get their pictures in the cars, and their parents are always concerned about scratching the cars. And my comment was, famous comment was that either at the hospital in Halifax at the IWK or the telethon or the racetrack was, see the name on the car? I'll take care of the car. You just enjoy it. So if they scratch it or mark it or do whatever, it's never been an issue. We don't worry about that kind of stuff, right? It's just a car, and we can fix it. That's what we do. So I enjoy the smiles on the kids' faces, and to see the children with their, you know, with their parents and whoever with them, you know, just enjoying all the hot rods or whatever we bring. That's always been just a pleasure for me.
And that's what it's all about. It's all for the kids. And chatting with Kenny Wallace before, he is excited to meet the kids at the IWK. Because if you're from Nova Scotia, most likely you were born at that hospital. I was born, all my brothers were. It's really important to Nova Scotians.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Well, that's, you know, Kelly and Emily spent quite some time there, you know, when Emily was born. And, you know, it's a very, very, very special place for us, that's for sure.
Do we know what the pace vehicle will be this year?
This year we're doing Mustangs because of John's car 50 years ago was a Mustang. So, you know, my pick this year was Mustangs. We have a Shelby and a Mustang GT5, 5 liter. So they're pretty special just for what's going on. You know, the 50th anniversary and the Mustang that he had driven. You know, the Boss 302, and that's what the pick was this year.
And 50 years of racing, throughout those years, and you mentioned it was about 40 years ago when you saw your first race. Do you have a favorite memory at Riverside International Speedway?
And there's only one memory that I have there, and that's Donald winning the race that I cherish, I should say. It's, you know, I just wish his dad had been around to see him doing it. But anyway, I really like that. That was probably my favorite moment, that and, you know, presenting him the trophy was really something for me, yeah.
And another Chisholm that's starting their racing legacy, Emily Chisholm, who so far this year has got 2 Bandolero wins at Scotia Speed World, one recently. I know that means a lot to you.
Well, it sure does. It's Emily's pretty special in our lives. I'm sure that everybody in the racing community knows that both Chisholms and the Lewises, we love our grandchildren, and they're very, very important to us. So I intend every race that she's been in, and in the future it'll be the same. I just love going and watching her, and the smile when she gets out of her car. She just loves her racing. So people say she's a natural at it. Well, after seeing the last race, I'm in agreement with that.
Is there a plan to get her in legend cars as soon as possible so she can ride on the high banks of Riverside?
I don't have any comment on that, actually. Her dad will make that decision, I'm sure.
Okay, we'll leave it to Dad. Any favorites going into the IWK 250 this year? Who do you think could come out on top? Do you think Kenny Wallace could make the double and win two in a row?
Well, that would be awesome to see the IWK car come across the finish line first again. I'd love to see that happen, but I'd like to see Donald's car come across the finish line the same way. I'd really like to see that happen too, because it's a pretty special year for him and the Chisholm family and the racetrack itself. You know, the racetrack, it's Donald's legacy now to continue on what his father's done, and he's done an awesome job. He's just done a super job running it and continuing on what's been happening out there. So it's been great. It really has. So, you know, that's why I'd love to see him bring that car home in first place. You know, not that I wouldn't like to see the IWK car first, but you know, it's family, so that's the way it is, right?
Well, maybe Kenny and Donald will have a photo finish. They'll be side by side coming towards the start finish line. Best case scenario.
Wouldn't that be something? Yeah,
it would be something.
Yeah, it would be a pleasure to see you, that's for sure.
And as the sponsor of this race, why should a Maritime Racing fan make the trek to Antigonish starting July 18th?
Well, it's been announced, I've heard it many, many times, that it's the best stock car race in Canada, so there's only one way for a fan to find that out, and if you're not a fan, to become a fan is to come and have a look. It's just a super, super facility. The best that I've traveled all across Canada, United States. You know, I do a lot of car stuff, auctions and so on, and I've seen a lot of racetracks. But this, in our community, in our country, it's probably top-notch in the country. It's just really something to see. When you drive down the Trans-Canada Highway and you look over and you say, wow, that's in Nova Scotia? So, you know, it's something that you don't expect to see in our region. You know, it's top notch. It's just people have to just come out and see it and enjoy it, and you know, everything is there for them. There's entertainment. There's food. It's everything they want to see. It's right there. You know.
It's the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis, July 18th through 20th. Steve, looking forward to seeing you at the track, and looking forward to some great racing.
Awesome, Dylan. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Yes, you don't want to miss this weekend coming up, and you can still get your advance tickets online at riversidespeedway.ca. The mail order deadline is past us, and after that, all orders will be held for pickup on race day. And reserved seats for the IWK 250, they're almost gone, but if that's your preference, you better get online and get your tickets as soon as possible and get that order in. There are still a lot of great general admission tickets. Advance ticket holders also get a discount compared to buying on race day, and you get your own entrance to the racetrack. Also noteworthy that the IWK 250 Super Race Weekend features two returns of Maritime Racing legends, starting with Sean Tucker, winner of the 2013 IWK 250, and the return of Frank Fraser, who was one of the first drivers to ever race at Riverside International Speedway. He raced on opening day in 1969. He won three races that day. He's hoping for the same luck on Friday, July 19th, when Frank Fraser gets behind the wheel of a Napa Sportsman car. Time now to chat with our guest driver again for the IWK 250. He's ready to break through the gateway and defend his IWK 250 title. NASCAR legend Kenny Wallace returns to Victory Laps. The heat has been turned up in Nova Scotia, and the intensity is picking up for the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. The man who's defending his IWK 250 win from last year is this year's guest driver once again, Kenny Wallace, and he's back on Victory Labs. Hi, Kenny. How is it going?
I am doing really good. So excited to come back to Riverside Speedway and bring my wife with me this time. You know, all my friends and fans. And I told Kim, I said, I've raced all over the world. I've raced in Japan two times, in Motegi and Suzuka Circuit. I raced in Mexico, and I have never had such a wonderful experience as I did at Riverside Speedway in Nova Scotia. That whole, what do you all, I think we got four names for it. Riverside Speedway, Maritimes, I just love it up in that whole area.
Riverside International Speedway, Antigonish, Maritimes, Atlanta, Canada. Yeah, there's a couple that go around there.
You got it going on. I tell all my friends that every racetrack I go to, there's like three nines to the racetrack.
So, firstly, away from racing, congrats on your St. Louis Blues winning the Stanley Cup this year. That's got to be a great feeling.
Well, I want to thank all you Canadians for lending us all your players, because I think there were more Canadian fans. You know, my buddy Colton Parenko is from Edmonton, way over on the, of course, way over on the West Coast, but Colton Parenko, great player for our Blues. He's a dear friend of mine. His father is a great NASCAR fan, and I got him some tickets for last year's Pepsi 400 down in Daytona. And yeah, so it's exciting how much the United States and Canada love each other. And, you know, I have family over in Vance and up and also on the other side. And so it's so much fun to do this together.
Well, on behalf of all Leaf fans, I thank the St. Louis Blues for beating the Bruins, because we got knocked out by the Bruins right away. And Brad Marchand, he's from Nova Scotia, too, so that's that whole connection there.
Well, you know, when I leave St. Louis, I ought to get my flight, you know, going to take Air Canada into Toronto and then, of course, into Halifax. And I know that Sidney Crosby's even got a place somewhere between Halifax and Riverside Speedway there.
Yep,
so
yep.
I'm well aware that we're definitely in hockey country when we're up that way.
Nathan MacKinnon on Colorado, he's from the same area, Sidney Crosby. There's a lot of players and a lot of good racers. But back to racing, how has racing been for you since we last spoke? You were in Florida for Speed Weeks.
Well, a lot has changed for the good. You know, I made a big life-changing experience. I decided that I wanted to change my life. There's an old saying, your life will not change until you change your life. And I had a wonderful job with Fox Sports, you know, one of the biggest TV, networks in the United States, or if not all over the world. And I had a very lucrative job for them, and I worked for them for 15 years. But I just got really tired and depressed of being in the hotel rooms on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I had to change my life. I went to all the executives and said, hey, man, I want to quit. And they were caught off guard, and I did the same thing with SiriusXM Channel 90. I wanted to go dirt racing. I have a wonderful family. My wife is awesome. Met my wife in damn high school. So we've been married forever. Got three beautiful children, grandbabies. So I'm very lucky in that sense. But I got tired of being on the road. So the way life has changed since my last time up there at Riverside Speedway is now I am a full-time race car driver. All I do is race. It's asphalt. It's dirt. That's what I've been doing. And we've been racing a whole bunch and just having the time of my life.
Seems like it's been kind of rainy in the Midwest. You're doing the Summer Nationals, but Mother Nature, who doesn't like racing sometimes, seems to be pouring down in the Midwest a lot.
Killed us. Oh, my God, it was horrible. We started the Summer Nationals, which is the Summer Nationals is nicknamed the Hell Tour. But it's a month out of the year, starts June 13th, ends like the end of July, and we race 29 races in 32 days.
Man.
Well, the first like 2 weeks we got rained out. We were supposed to run 8 races, and we raced one time. So now it's calmed down. It seems like the weather pattern has changed. Now it's normal. Now it's 100 degrees and no rain in sight. So we just got done racing 10 out of 13 days. And I'm recovering a little bit. It was awesome.
Was it that busy when you were doing NASCAR racing so many nights out of the week? Were you doing the dirt stuff when you were racing, say, in the Busch Series and Nationwide and Cup?
Yeah, it was harder because I, like you said, I was doing TV. And when I was doing TV, the logistics were a nightmare. It's like, okay, I'm off the TV set on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Can I get to the airport and get to the dirt race, you know, Sunday night or Monday? It was a nightmare. It's a lot easier now. You know, I have a CDL, which means I am the driver of my own truck and trailer. I am my own mechanic. I build my own race cars. So I don't have a big entourage. I don't having a big team, although I do have a great crew of Billy Smith and Joe Billick, two good guys that really helped me a lot. Sometimes not year-round, but during this time, you know, because we're racing Monday. I mean, like I told you, 10 races in 13 days, but pretty soon we'll get back to weekly racing when we only race Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, but yeah, it was harder last year, and that's what made me quit radio and TV, because I was very jealous of these racers that got to race all the time. So we fixed that, and I've got great sponsors, and we put it all together.
And when you come up to Nova Scotia, the IWK 250 is all next week. Is it one of your first races on pavement in 2019?
You know, it's not. We just ran last week or 2 weeks ago in South Bend, Indiana, and I thought about what you just said, actually. So South Bend, Indiana, I ran a much powerful super late models. I ran what they call wedge super late models, high power horsepower motors and very aerodynamic bodies. We run fifth out of 22 cars, and I feel like I'm ready to roll. I got the Riverside Speedway racetrack in my mind. I know where I want my steering wheel, my seat. But, you know, those guys up there are some of the best, not just in Canada, but, you know, between USA and Canada, they're the best. And I was proud of our run last year. You know, we got to roll in there the last 75 laps. We came from 16th to 3rd on our own, you know, in the heat of the day after that rain out on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned so much. So we'll just see what this year has to bring, but I'm ready to roll.
Do you do simulators at all? Like, do you do the driving simulators at all? I know a lot of younger drivers do that growing up and going through Cup and everything, but do the old vets try that too?
No, I don't do none of that. I don't have the access. I'm not saying that I would not do it, because I am very innovative. I'm very up to date. You know, although I'm 55 years old, you know, the young kids love me. They respect me because I act young. I'm probably 55, boom, I'm 36, and I'm all about technology. And that's why I'm still winning in my dirt car. You know, if you're going to race in an older age, you got to figure out ways to be competitive. So I just don't have any simulation available to me. But I race so much that I'm able to stay in great shape. I eat good, and I live right. And, you know, I'm very dedicated to my chassis setup. So, you know, it's like my brother Rusty Wallace taught me. He said, Herman, there's a lot of great race car drivers, but the ones that get their race cars handling the best are the ones that are going to win. So, you know, when I come under Riverside, I'm going to spend that Thursday night practicing, working hard on my chassis, getting my car working for me, so I have an opportunity to win.
Have you talked with any of the boys at Nova Racing setting up the cat car for kids? Like, any differences? Like, hey, I want it this way, I want the steering wheel like this. Have you communicated with them yet so far?
We have. We've talked. But they already know what I expect from last year. Great experience. I spent probably 3 hours last year realizing that I wasn't turning the wheel left enough. Here I've been running so much dirt racing that I'm used to turning right. And I'm going to tell you the truth. When we ran really good last year at Riverside Speedway, I had like 6 asphalt tracks call me, want me to race, because they're like, holy moly. You know, and everywhere I went, like a month later, like in August, I went out to Stockton, California, and I won again. But, you know, it's because, you know, it takes a couple, 3 hours to get up to speed. So that Thursday night practice is very important to me. I use that for Kenny Wallace. I need the practice, so it really helps.
And one thing is, the first race this year at Riverside International Speedway, it was a 150-lap race, but we did a triple 50 format where we stopped the cars, inverted the top 5, and then the top 10. So the drivers who race on the Pro Stock Tour didn't get that near full 150 laps. Do you think that would be almost a disadvantage for them? That would be like almost like a testing session for them on the long run.
Well, the IWK 250, it's a grueling race. Now, if they drop the green flag on Saturday night, we go green, it's all okay, because it's at night. And last year, you got to remember, we got to about lap 70, 75, you know, in 2018. And now it's 2019, you know, it's a year later. you know, last year, we had to run the whole house in the race in 90-degree weather. I still have a blister on the right side of my leg where I didn't get the proper insulation, you know, in last year's race. I crossed the start-finish line like a little kid. I'm like, ow! And got in the truck and trailer, pulled my uniform off, and had a blister the size of, two quarters. So that's, if we get rained out, we got to run on Sunday, it becomes six times worse.
Six times.
But if because another track changes, right?
Yeah.
Now it's really hot. So everything changes. The chassis setup changes. The body changes, your body. The team, everybody's hot. Now, if we can drop the green flag on Saturday night this year and finish this baby, now we all know what we're in for. But last year, we got through the loop. And I think it favored me because my car was tight. When I turned the wheel left, it wouldn't turn. But when that heat came out, it really helped my car.
Is that the same thing for dirt racing? Like, if you race in the day compared to the night, the track can change and the car can change as well?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the way it is with all of us. I mean, the perfect situation is you drop the green flag at 8:30 at night. It's dark, and you end it dark. That's perfect. But when you deal with any type of sunlight, now you're changing the game, you know, because you take the temperature reading of the asphalt, or as you all said up there, osh.
Yeah, we talked about that last time, the pronunciation, yeah.
Right, so, you know, you'll take a temperature gun at, say, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the day, and you're looking at 150 degrees. Then you do that same thing around 8 o'clock at night, you're down to 90 degrees. You're talking 50 to 60 degrees. Much cooler asphalt temperature. So now the car is going to be totally different, you know? So you got to adjust for that.
Well, fingers crossed that Mother Nature stays away for the entire weekend. And that weekend, as you mentioned, you're not coming up to Canada alone. You're bringing the missus with you.
Oh, yeah. I told her, I said, oh, now listen, I said, on Thursday night, we drink a little beer. Now, Ken likes margaritas. So for anybody listening, she's not a beer drinker, but I told her about my experience last year. Thursday night, went over there and drank some nice cold Bud Lights with the fan. Got about on my third beer. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Well, you know, here in the United States, we have our high octane beer. We are like twice the octane. And Friday morning around noon, they were all waking me up. I'm like, I'm fine. What's wrong with it? They said they were worried about me. I said, I'm recovering.
So are you and Kim doing anything special while you're in Nova Scotia? Are you going to do any sightseeing? I know you're going to go to Halifax and visit the IWK hospital again. Anything planned out?
Oh, yeah, we'll do it all. So, on Thursday, we'll go to the IWK hospital, visit all the beautiful children, try to give them a lot of love. Let them know how much I love them. And then we'll probably visit the counselor facility in Halifax. Then I'll come on over there Thursday and practice. Then Friday, we'll probably wake up whenever we want to. After practice on Thursday night, and I believe we're going to sightsee. I didn't do that last year because I was by myself. And we'll probably, sightsee. It's a beautiful country. You know, people from all over the world come there. And last year I didn't take advantage of it. So this year on Friday I'll do that. And then Friday night we'll leave from Oxford, a couple beers, and we'll get ready for the big race on Saturday.
How excited are you to see your Canadian fans and American fans making the trip up to the Maritimes for the 250?
Hey, man, there's one reason I'm coming back is because they were good to me, and I love them. And I come back in peace, come back to race, and leave some beer.
Well, we look forward to seeing you during the IWK 250 Super Race weekend. Any last words for anyone that's listening that's maybe thinking, should I go out and check out the racing?
Come to the greatest show on earth. Come to Riverside Speedway. Enjoy a nice party on Thursday night. We got some great racing on Friday, and then, of course, Saturday is the big one, the one we've all want to win, IWK 250. Actually, 3 days that you need to be there. Thursday night, the big pit party, absolutely the best time of my life. Thursday night, we got great music, great drinking. Then, of course, Friday, we got some really good racing, more racing, other classes. And then, of course, on Saturday, home of the big one, man. So, what a weekend, plenty capping, man, the camper, and, it's going to be a great time.
Enough said. Kenny Wallace, we look forward to having you back here in Nova Scotia so you can defend your IWK 250 win. A week from today, we'll be feeling the rush of race cars and rocking the blues away. The IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis Super Race Weekend kicks off on Thursday, July 18th with the IWK 250 tailgate party featuring a concert by the Matt Minglewood Band, the Godfather of East Coast Blues, if you will. Tickets are now available for that. $20 if you'd like to go just to the concert and the test and tune. $10 for youth aged 8 to 18. Or that's included with your weekend pass if you want to buy that. For Friday, July 19th, we've got a great evening of racing ahead with the Maritime League of Legends, Schooner Contracting Legends Challenge, and the Napa Sportsman Series Henry's Auto Pro 100. On Saturday, July 19th, it's the moment we've all been waiting for, the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. With the weekend pass, you get access to all three events, and you can buy that right now at riversidespeedway.ca. And for start times, just keep track of social media and riversidespeedway.ca. If you would like to camp at the IWK 250, you better get online and figure that out as soon as you can. Getting tight, but there are still a couple of slots available here and there. This is all part of the 50th anniversary celebrations of Riverside International Speedway. It's part of Throwback Thursday. Every Thursday this year, we pay tribute to drivers who have raced at Riverside, those people who are very important to the track, and some fun trivia, photos, and video. If you would like to share some of your stories from Riverside, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with us at info@riversidespeedway.ca. We're also excited to partner with Heart of a Champion for the 2019 Toys for Kids Toy Drive over the IWK 250 weekend. We want to help out lots of children at the IWK Hospital in Halifax, and we have a full list of items that are needed, including unused, unwrapped toys and books, as well as gift cards. And we have a couple of collection centers set up in Dartmouth and Antigonish for those who can't make it out to the track. You can find out more details on the Riverside International Speedway Facebook page. The checkered flag is waving, and next week the green flag will be waving for the IWK 250 Super Race Weekend. Can't wait to see you all out there. I'm Dylan Lanchill. Thank you for listening to Victory Laps, part of the Throwback Thursday celebrations for Riverside International Speedway.